Blog Talk Radio.
What's in the news, family? And how are you? And how are the children doing? More when we get back. Family, yes, our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination, freedom, and a number of other cultural as well as economic experiences that we definitely do not enjoy here. Welcome to Dare to Win, a program featured by Us Lifting Us, where we have enlightening discussions to talk about the economic, political plight of Black people, and the global economic model that provides an exact method of gaining economic and political self-determination. We are building a global machinery for our economic freedom and sovereignty and the methodology to pass it on to future generations. My name is Brother Shabaka, and joining me this evening is Brother Thurman, who, like myself, is a member of ULU. Greetings and good evening to you, Brother Thurman. How are you today?
Greetings, Brother. I'm so happy to be in good company with you and the rest of the family.
Yes, it's always a pleasure hooking up with you, joining you. And tell us, what's in the new and how are the children doing?
Thank you so much for that powerful question, because there's always so much in the news, whether it's ancient or 5 minutes ago or 5 minutes into the future. And it would, in the tradition of our cultural traditions that I'm going to talk about in a minute, before we go into the news, it would be proper to deal with also the question, which is, how are the children? And this is something that I'm getting ready to talk about for a minute, and it's a lot to be analyzed and be added to it, but how are the children is a cultural tradition that goes, who knows, it may be ancient, and especially is highlighted by the Africans, the Maasai warriors. And they spoke in their language, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, the word is Kasurian Injera. And what that means in the English language is, and how are the children? And in this, which is still the traditional greeting among the Maasai, acknowledging the high value that the Maasai always place on their children's well-being. Even warriors with no children of their own would always give the traditional answer, all the children are well. Meaning, of course, that peace and safety prevail, that the priorities of protecting the young, the powerless, are in place. That Maasai society has not forgotten its reason for being, its proper functions and responsibilities. All the children are well means that life is good. It means that the daily struggles for existence do not preclude proper caring for their young. I wonder how it might affect our consciousness of our own children's welfare if in our culture we took to greeting each other with this daily question, and how are the children? I wonder if we heard that question and passed it along to each other a dozen times a day, if it would begin to make a difference in the reality of how children are thought of or cared about in our own country. I wonder if every adult among us, parent and non-parent alike, felt an equal weight for the daily care and protection all the children in our community, in our town, in our state, in our country. I wonder if we could truly say without any hesitation, the children are well. Yes, all the children are well. What would it be like if the minister began every worship service by answering the question, and how are the children? If every town leader had to answer that question at the beginning of every meeting, and how are the children? Are they all well? Wouldn't it be interesting to hear their answers? What would it be like? I wonder. And family members, this is something that needs to be explored, and it's a whole lot that was said here that's extremely powerful. But as you heard in the among the things that were said, what would it be like if we addressed each other every day and it became a part of us? Because there's a powerful word concept called repetition is mind control in simple terms. But if the repetition is something that's beneficial for our mind, then what is it? It's beneficial. You know, so if every day we said, how are the children? Then every day we would be focusing on the well-being of the children. And when we're not, then what's the opposite of that? We're neglecting them spiritually, mentally, physically, nutritionally, educationally, all of those things, all subject areas of peaceful activity. So that's where I wanted to start. It's a powerful concept that the Maasai have been doing forever, and they still practice it. And how are the children?
Was it coming through, Brother Thurman, okay, brother? Yeah, you're coming through fine. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Yeah, I was having a little technical problem. But let's not leave that right now, because what you emphasize is so important. We get bombarded with a lot of information being in this society. And sometimes, you know, many of us will find it insulting, you know, to ask, how are the children? Because we would automatically apply that you're insisting that we're not doing right by our kids. But let me raise this question and think about it for a moment. Since you raised that, the implication that's in my mind is that obviously the children are not doing well, but that includes the children of those parents who we might consider nationalists or Pan-African, cultural nationalist-minded, African-minded people. Is that your thoughts? Is that your experience as you move about?
That the African people and African-centered people are addressing
that the African-centered, yeah, that the African people-centered, who's supposed to be centered, particularly in this country, all right, are not necessarily focused on that, or find themselves, as they rhetorically talk about self-determination and a whole bunch of other stuff, is that they're not necessarily focusing on what is essential and why we are seeking self-determination. Is it your thoughts that as you look about, that we might not be doing it as serious, or maybe we might not be consciously involved in trying to make sure that we address that question that you asked, and that we can always say our children are doing well? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and I would, when you said consciously and not aware, I would say that a whole bunch of the people, too many, are not consciously focusing on that, because they're just not aware, because they're distracted with other things. One of the ways to oppress us is to keep us distracted with trinkets and whatever, and technology included. And if we were focusing on that, then one, we would be saying that every day like the Maasai, but also if we consciously were focusing on that every day, we would be achieving, as African people all over this planet and beyond, we would have remarkable, more, tremendously more achievements to, and we would fulfill our need to become free again and maintain that. And if we're not, then we're not consciously doing the proper things. It's like Baba Hakima some years ago said, what if we are doing the wrong thing? And oftentimes we're not. So it's just like the planet and the universe is an ecosystem, and it's necessary that things are in some harmonious order for the ecosystem to work, the sun, the moon, the rain, the wind, and much more. And if we are not nurturing the ecosystem of our lives as melanated beings, which incorporates everything that we do, and if we are ignoring the benefits of the sun, if we're ignoring drinking water, and we're ignoring the things that keep the earth rich and nourished, which will then produce nourishing food, then what's the outcome? We're not well. And if we were well, then all of this continuous increasing in kidney dialysis centers, they would disappear, or they wouldn't be there in the first place if we had things in the proper ecological order when it comes to our spirit, mind, and body. I hope I answered your question. If I didn't,
Yeah, I think you did, brother, and I hope the family who's listening is also aware of the need to be able to try to do that and incorporate that in their life. If you wish to participate in the discussion this evening, all right, you can dial us at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Press the one, press on your dialing tab one, and that'll put you in the queue and let us know that you want to ask a question or make a comment. If you wish to join us by website, just go to usliftingus.com or scroll down to the bottom of the play, click where you see Dare to Win, and then that will take you to a page in which you will see you can join live. Click on that and you can hear what Brother Thurman and I are talking about right now. Well, Brother Thurman, we understand that, you know, we should be focusing on that, and hopefully from the conversation that you just shared, you know, we'll begin to think a little bit more consciously, such that we don't have to think of it consciously, because we will repeat it such that we don't have to think of it. But what else is in the news?
Yeah, and I just want to emphasize when you say repeat it. Historically, in different circles, even when it's not addressing and how are the children, things that we repeat that's about our unity, our love, our harmony, when we repeat those things to each other every day, circles of us that have done such repetition daily, they got very good results. And I can just give you an example. During the unjust Vietnam War, brothers did the dap with their fists. But every day, there was circles of brothers that always did the dap, day or night. You just could not walk past a brother, whether they were eating or whatever, to do that. But the repetition that I want to get to is that every day when they did the dap, they said, "What's the word?" And the word was always us or black people,
right,
things like that. But by repeating that every day, it nurtured some love that hadn't been realized. And then now there were brothers that were in tears when a brother lost his life. They were in tears when a brother got on the plane to come back to the world, as what they called here, and escape that hell of being there. But that repetition created a mindset of the brothers that it just flowed from within, where brothers said to each other, "One of the things that we're not going to do is fight each other." And so months right. and months go by, no brothers, and brothers have got some serious problems, including some serious drug problems, but not fighting each other because of repetition of uplifting words like us and like black people. So if we follow the Maasai's model of every day and several times a day amongst various sisters and brothers to say, "And how are the children?" Then we put in, so what you focus your attention on, I can word it better than this, it creates an energy, a frequency, and it causes what you focus your attention on to flow into your life. And if we're ignoring that subject in proper fashion, in real fashion, of "And how are the children?" we never talk about that, then how could they all be okay? Well, the evidence is because there's so many of us that are not okay, and the children are not okay. It's evidence that there's some dysfunction there.
Right. Brother, I think that we have a call. All right.
Okay.
So I'm gonna open up the lines so the brother or sister can join us. Brother or sister, with the last four digits, 8633, that's 8633, please tell us your name and where you calling from.
Peace. This is Brother Talib. Right now I'm out here on the West Coast.
Greetings, brother.
Peace and honors to the Ulu family, and I want to speak right now real brief about the dire situation of our brothers and sisters in Jackson, Mississippi, who don't have clean water, and the children up there are not doing good. Brother Chokwe Antar Lumumba, who's a strong warrior and mayor for our people, is up there, but he can't do it alone, and there's been a lot of neglect by the state and federal government to build the infrastructure up there. So I just wanted to speak on that. And real quick, before I let you go, is the Maasai people themselves in Africa have been getting run off their own homeland, you know, and that was on change.org. But peace and honor to the Ulu family, and I just wanted to raise that news item about the brothers and sisters in Jackson, Mississippi. Peace, free the land.
Free the land and peace, brother. Really appreciate that. Yeah, that's been hot in the news, and we might try to get to that. And as you said, with a raggedy infrastructure that was inherited by Brother Chukwe Anto Lumumba, he's doing the best he can to try to at least force the governments, federal and state, all right, to deliver. But thanks a lot for bringing that to our attention, bringing it to the family's attention. Brother Thurman, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
Yes, I do. Two pieces, and one of them is thank the brother for everything that he talked about, the people and what's happening in Jackson, the cruelty there. And it gets back to and how the children, if that was a daily focus amongst our people all over the planet, then we would also be more mobilized to aid the babies, the children, and the people in Jackson. And as Brother Peter Brown wrote somewhere recently, he said, Jackson, Mississippi is still not enough to make mine, talking about our people, define priority. They still can't tell what is of value beyond money. And so there's folks that focus on money and trinkets and stuff, and there's not a priority on and how are the children, the babies, and the people, and the land. And I also would say that, and I thank the brother also for mentioning the Maasai, which I'm so glad that he brought that up. The Maasai, as he brought it up, is being pushed off of their land that they have been able to roam forever, to the tune of having like 500 and some square miles of their land and the attempt to drive them off that they won't have access to anymore because it's going to be turned into a game reserve, or either they're going to have a substandard access in whatever way. So some of the folks are trying to modify a way of letting them be there somewhat, but that's not acceptable. And so thanks, I give thanks to the brother for mentioning that, because it's a very serious issue. And before we move away from the children and how are the children, we must make it a part of us, and that's why it just got my interest. And so amongst our children, there's children all over the planet that are just flourishing in terms of their genius intellect. They were born geniuses, and black babies are born on a regular. It's probably a routine that we are giving, the sisters are giving birth to geniuses. But when outsiders' ways of thinking and treating childbirth and the education included gets in the way, and it suppresses that genius that they came out of the womb and they were in the womb with, and it's like they never had it. And so there are children that are flourishing academically and doing well, and but simultaneously there are children that are having some major problems. And we've got to corrected in all areas, and we got to do it on high levels. So that's why there's a brother that's on the internet on Facebook, 19 Keys. That's a trade name. He goes by 19 Keys, but he talks about, and he regularly brings sisters and brothers onto his program or in his circle to have what's called high-level conversations. And we're neglecting, because a whole bunch of us almost never have high-level conversation about whatever, about everything. And just, so we've got to correct things. I'm looking at a piece that says that when it comes to our children, we got to quit yelling at our children before they go to bed and expect them to sleep well. We've got to quit yelling at our children in the morning right after they wake up before school and expect them to have a good day in school. We have to set the tone for the children, and you set the tone for your voice that they will always remember in their heads. You become their inner voice. Don't be their inner critic. Speak life, speak love, speak bravery and kindness and hope, speak wisdom and truth, but most of all, listen to your children. And
go ahead, brother.
Go right ahead. No, you go right ahead.
I was saying it's very wise wisdom in what you say, and the thought of we set the tone when they go to bed and when they wake up. And if we're not pleasant, all right, that's going to impinge and impact our very greatest resource when they wake up in the morning and has to face the world. I want to just say a little bit about that Maasai thing, because we know that a lot of this stuff, losing their land, is a result of tourism. And I saw something very similar when I went through the Gullah Geechee area in South Carolina and Georgia. Tourism. All right, the Gullah Geechee people have lost their land, you know, that they had somewhat a stake in. All right, and now everything is set up. They got the, when you go through there, they have the old plantations. They have the some of the our people from that community speaking on the history. But they don't let them speak on the true history. You know, they let them speak. They'll show you the garments that they made, how they sang, how they dressed, and stuff like that. But they don't get in. They don't get down to the core of the culture, and then how the Europeans came in and just confiscated thousands of acres, all right, of land, and maybe they felt guilty, which I doubt. They allow them to just, you know, have a little stake by working for them in this tourism. And then they promoted the tourism the same way that when we look, you know, 7,000-8,000 miles away, how they're promoting tourism, all right, in the Maasai areas. But I just wanted to add that from my experience on both sides of the Atlantic. But go ahead, brother, continue with your news reporting.
Yes, and thank you for that about the Gullah Geechee, brother. And we've got some serious work to do. And I want to remind the family that on the Us Lifting Us Facebook page, there's a serious piece. It's only 2 minutes, but it says, this is hip-hop. And we really need to know that hip-hop and all of the money that flows and the people that listen to it, but it's got some background past and some deeper foul stuff going on that's against our people. We are being attacked by the oppressors continuously, but there's some inner attacks that's coming, and hip-hop was something that brought it to the forefront. And I'm not saying everybody that's into hip-hop is about that, but there's a whole bunch of big names that people buy up their stuff that's connected with that hip-hop. And take a stroll through your mind and go to the Us Lifting Us Facebook page, and it's there now. This is hip-hop, and it's a video that's only about 2 minutes long.
All right. All right, if you wish to join and get involved in the conversation, 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Press 1 on your dialing pad. That'll let us know that you are eager to have a question or make a comment. Go ahead, Brother Thurman.
Yes, and so the children is a very serious matter, and we need to have that on our mind every day. Marvin Gaye sang, "We must save the babies, all of the children," but he also sang, "But who really cares to save a world that's destined to die? It's not destined to die because some creator or some universal force is making that happen. It's because of the damage that's been done to the people's thinking and the lifestyles and the reckless lifestyles that they're living. When it comes to everything about their life, they've been lied to and deceived, and we must address that. And what's in the news? There's so much in the news. In my mind, just like talking about, and how are the children? In my mind, the children, the mothers, the fathers, all of us, the planet itself and the universe, a major thing that should be heavy on our mind, a vital things that we must know about and continuously build and to, well, let me say it like this. To gain and maintain freedom, among the top vital things we must know about and continuously build and improve upon are our natural and sustainable survival strategies. And we need, it's vital that we know about our ancient history and culture, yes, because it gives us direction. But we spend, as a group around the world, too little energy on building and improving upon our natural and sustainable survival strategies. And survival strategies should be something that is just nature, everything in nature, the plants, the trees, the animals, the butterflies, the bees, and on, birds, they stay focused on their survival strategies in every way that they possibly can. And before people come along and pollute them and take away their habitat, they have done well with it for millions of years until the interrupters came. And so among the tops of survival is our wellness, and that we need to be go back to nature and be and take charge and be about growing and nurturing the food that we eat and on some land that we have in control and make it sustainable food that we can, like many of our ancestors, wherever they were in Africa and all over the planet, here in the U.S. included, they were using the land, and the land was giving to them and feeding them. And those folks could stay on their land for weeks at a time and never go anywhere to get anything that had to do with their nutritional survival. And even when it comes to building, the land provided it without them having to go anywhere. And we need to return to those kind of things, and I just wanted to bring that up. And want to, in the direction of survival, we've got to get clarity in our thinking, make sure that we're not misdirected in our thinking about whatever, and that includes love and unity. A brother, I believe this is a brother that wrote, "The problem with trying to unite our people with love is that emotions change all the time. If Africans want to be united, we need a common goal. Before slavery and apartheid, Europe was just as divided as we are. There's a thousand-year history of them fighting each other, history they didn't teach in public schools. The thing that brought them together is survival. If we can work together to control Africa, we all make money and we all get rich. So they work together and they are still working together. You think England likes Russia? You think Russia likes Germany? Unity is not about liking a person. It's about needing each other to survive, survival. Teaching black people that we need to love each other won't work. Unity comes from survival. People have to recognize that they need each other. That's the only way. If you're still preaching love, you are uneducated in the ways of human psychology. And this is food for thought. Take a stroll through your mind with that. You can add to it, edit that, but we need to give some thought to that of how more enthusiastic the people are when they have a survival reason for coming together in unity. And Brother Shabaka and family members, you can give your thoughts on that part.
Yeah, brother, that's some very powerful words. And family, if you wish to participate, I'm going to ask Brother Thurman a question in a minute, but I'm going to give you an opportunity to also join us. It's 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789. Press 1 on your keypad, your keypad, and that will alert us that you wish to talk with a question or ask or make a comment. Brother Thurman, let me ask you this. I noticed that you're very serious in the survival thing, and a lot of stuff are coming up. Is there anything that you see that necessitate that we really need to really focus on this a little bit more than what we've focused in the past? I mean, we already know about the situation in Jackson. We also know about the situation in Michigan, you know, with the water situation in the Detroit and other areas of that state where people couldn't drink. Is there anything particularly now that suggests to you, folks, we really need to take this serious. We really need to come together. There's some things coming down. And what's coming down will require that we have to be more in tune with working together than we've ever been. What's your feeling on that, brother?
Yeah, well, I think you mentioned there's much in the news in Jackson and in Michigan and all over the world that is showing people suffering. And there's much new in the news. Some people haven't realized it, but talk about food shortages, even if it's intentional. And so it should be telling us, get busy like our ancestors, collectively on some land together where we can provide security together and unity for survival, as the piece I read, and grow some food. But when you do that, it connects you back once again with the universe, because we have come back to the land. And now we're getting to know the trees that provide nourishment in various ways, and the herbs and the plants and the things that are just there waiting for us to come get it. And it's there all the time. It's just like the system, the interrupters program us to think that you seek the money to have a house with a so-called nice laid out neighborhood with nice green grass. But it takes poisoning the lawn and the planet and the water to have that so-called nice, perfectly uniform green lawn. And we should be about growing food and having wonderful, healthy, rich, organic, nourishing food. And so things is there all of the time. You know, all of the health calamities that the people are having, high blood pressure, gout, diabetes, kidney dialysis, and more. It's all solvable. It's all correctable. But we've got to correct our thinking, and we got to do it in unity. And when I mentioned the land and doing it collectively, when we do it collectively, we're there as a unit, then we're providing security that we need, because we always have needed. And it's just like the brother, I'm disappointed I can't tell you his name right now. I think his last name was Williams. But anyway, he wrote a book called Negroes with Guns. But what provoked that movement was that they were being attacked by Knight Riders. And Robert Williams, mm-hmm. if I got the name correct, he and his family mm-hmm. and then the people in his circle, they put them, they had a serious talk, and they said, we got to address this. And so what did they mm-hmm. do? They came together with weapons for security purpose. They weren't out trying to bother nobody. And they set up a process 24 hours a day, including night watch. And once they put that in place, they had the folks come back at night. But they knew they were coming. They were prepared for them. And the invaders got shot. And they left that piece of land alone. But we need to be about doing that because our surroundings are, you know, it's we're it's potential. Well, there are things that happen that's come out in the news has been for decades and for the last several years and continues. So among the things that we must do, however you might feel about the thing, we're foolish not to be security minded. And so I'm looking at a piece that it's on the called The Vegan Melanin. And it says, learn how to shoot and learn how to fight so you don't have to. Because when Robert Williams and the group learned how to shoot and had weapons, a lot of the attacks stopped. They didn't have to shoot nobody. So it says, once again, what I'm reading says, learn how to shoot and learn how to fight so you don't have to. Most people hope for the best, but never prepare for the worst. And then to add to that, it's important to teach the children about gun safety, even if you don't own a gun. No matter how parents feel about guns, there's a chance their child will come in contact with one at some point. Federal statistics show us that as many as 50% of U.S. households contain guns. Now, they didn't break it down, but it would be interesting to know how many of them are black households. And then it goes on to say that while parents in many of those homes say they discuss gun safety with their children, others do not discuss gun safety. Parents who don't own guns are less likely to discuss gun safety with their children, according to a national poll on children's health conducted for the University of Michigan's Mott Children's Hospital in August. The poll surveyed 1,600 parents and found that 18% of those parents who reported having a gun in their household said they have never talked to their children about gun safety, while 52% of those who do not have a gun in their home have not had that conversation. And it just goes on and on. But we must be about security of everything, food, our physical security, our spiritual security, all of those things. We can't allow ourselves to be vulnerable because we're not security conscious about whatever. As I said, food included. People complain, as Sister wrote about, they don't have enough money or it's too expensive to go plant-based. But the sister also said, but death is expensive. Another brother,
right.
Natural Being, says eating plant-based is only expensive if you want to eat processed vegan junk. Otherwise, whole plants from soil is cheaper than animal products. I'll read that again. Whole plants from soil is cheaper than animal products. And then if you want to make it even cheaper, grow your own. Nourishing, nutritious, you nurtured the soil, you dug up in the soil, you have to increase the earthworm count and all of that, and it grows and it's nourishing, and you didn't have to go to a store. There was no shortage because the sunshine and the rain up to this point has not become scarce that we can't use it because it's there for us, and the plants and all of those things. So I hope I made some clarity. And we've got to stop everything that's poisoning us. And so there's a new study that reveals that tattoo ink used in the U.S. is linked to cancer-causing chemicals. Yeah, that shouldn't be surprising. So it says, of course, permanently putting beryllium, lead, cobalt, / nickel, chromium, and arsenic on your largest organ, which is your skin, can cause health problems. People are free to do what they want with their body, but they need to understand the pros and cons. Living a holistic lifestyle can help with prevention. And
right, we need to be.
Go right ahead, bro.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say we need information before we make the decision to do anything to our body. You know, we can't follow the crowd because the crowd can lead you down the road. But go ahead, brother. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yes. And so it's just like the cancer-causing chemicals have been found in the tattoo ink. But also the question is, why would beautiful, always have been beautiful, richly pigmented, melanated people need to deface and try to, like, put some design on themselves as if they ain't beautiful? We already got a psychological issue going on about not thinking that we're beautiful, so we got to come up with tattoos all over our body and in their underwear and whatever and all kinds of decorations to the hair, the nose, and whatever else, that's saying that I don't just love my natural self. And then others, the invaders, the interrupters, all around the world are getting extremely wealthy from us ingesting the cancer-causing chemicals in the tattoos, in the food, in the stuff that they stick in their hair, and on. And I hope I'm making some sense.
Yeah, brother, I think you're making a lot of sense. And family, please chime on in and join the conversation. You can do that by just dialing 929-477-2789. Press 1 on your dialing pad and, you know, ask your question or, you know, make your comment. I think that the question of our health is extremely important, and the question of letting other people be models for us is even more critical, because the industry itself, all right, the industry itself, you know, makes a lot of people rich while we get poor. And not only do we get poor, we die, you know, as a consequence of the disease that can be caught from that. And a lot of those examples, tons of examples are in the news. We have to change that around. We have to have this kind of discussion that you and I and the family are having right now. We need to move away from those things. We need to think of our health. We need to look at the land. We need to come together with the land, decide what we're going to plant, all right? And, we don't need to go, you know, have, you know, tofu here and tofu there that's made by the Japanese or what have you. All right, we can grow our foods, process our own food, make it edible, and then enjoy it. 929-477-2789. Go ahead, brother, continue. What else is happening?
Yes. And we've got a serious survival situation and security, as I mentioned earlier. And around the world, African children and women and some brothers are being snatched and sold into slavery in places around the world and used for other purposes. And I looked at a less than a minute video of a sister, what appeared to be a sister, a camera on a light pole or wherever, somebody's camera up high, showed this woman running down the street. But this man is running, and he's running faster than her, and he passes by her. But up ahead was a car, but he passes by her, but then at some point he slows down and turns around and faces her and grabs her and snatches her and begins to batter her, and his intent was to get her in a car. But this is happening because we already know the evidence is there. There's lots and lots of African children and women and some brothers that disappear every year off the streets around the world, and especially in certain places, and they never are found again. whatever the reasons, the various reasons, including being sold into slavery and sexual slavery and also using their body parts, whatever the reason, when we come together out of survival strategies that will bring us in unity, we can put a stop to that, because we'd have our communities and have them secured, just like the land, just like Robert Williams and the folks in the, dealing with that book, Negroes and Guns. We can do that. It's all solvable. It's in our capabilities of doing that. And with regard to Us Lifting Us, it fits right in with everything that's been talked about tonight with Us Lifting Us, which is about Us Lifting Us is bringing forth a well-laid-out cooperative economics plan. But the cooperative economics is, yes, about us pooling our resources and employing our people and building businesses all over the globe amongst us, and making money in those businesses so that we can build more businesses and employ more people. But what will we also be doing? Not taking the money and sticking it in our individual pockets and buying more trinkets and stuff from the interrupters, but to build our own and become free again and maintain that freedom. And in the process, we would be just doing, it would be a constant flow of cooperation with our money, cooperation with building our communities, our villages, our nations, nation building, and everything that's essential to doing that, including our spiritual, mental, physical, nutritional, and economic development and educational, everything that's included in that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Brother, the emphasis to work together, pool our resources, all right, is becoming more and more clear each day as we take a look around. This guy, Klaus Schwab, German, all right, who heads the World Economic Forum, a couple years ago made a statement. He says, don't worry about it, people. You own nothing and be happy. All right, what he meant by that is that the resources of the earth is no longer of a concern to you. So the European is definitely inspiring, because he sees the direction and the pull and what we're going, and he knows that he can't live, all right, if he doesn't have control of the various resources that is essential to sustain him. Because, see, nothing can grow in Europe. Very little can grow in Europe and the U.S., all right? The land is not, you know, as fertile as it used to be, all right? Some parts are. All right, it's not yielding like it used to be. All right, the resources of the earth are really, unfortunately, for our consumption, is not here. All right, all right, but we do have access to what's here, and we know how, from our own ingenuity, from our own knowledge of science, we can reverse the process. So, yes, it's extremely important. Brother, I wanted to bring up also something else that I thought was heavily important. I don't know if the family knew, but I thought I was going to share it. Just recently, Bauer, who is the Mayor Bauer, who is the mayor of the District of Columbia, all right, had to actually renege on forcing a mandate that would require school-age children to be inoculated, all right, with a gene therapy that they're trying to call a vaccine, in spite of the fact that tons of information is beginning to come about of the danger of this inoculation. And she was advised, interestingly, by two senators, Democrats, that what she was doing was unconstitutional.
Hmm.
But the woman, all right, backed down, said, okay, I won't require school-age children this September all right, to be mandated. Now, I want to bring this because family, we got some toms out there, and we need to be aware of those folks that have no interest in us. They just happen to look like us. And the best judge of that is not just assuming that because they look like us, they're going to do well. We have to really assess their behavior. The woman then mentioned that it didn't bother her that there was 40% of black folks who would be disproportionately affected, all right, and would not be required to go to school, at which point, at X amount of time, the truancy thing would kick in, and that the state would then could come in and separate the parents from the children as a consequence of her action if the parents said, no, I don't want to put that jab in my child. She says, the heck with it. I don't care if blacks are disproportionately affected by that. Well, anyway, she backed down and says, all right, I'm not going to do it in September. I'm going to enforce it in January. Now, that's the kind of Negroes that we have. All right, I'm going to enforce it in January. All right, suppose that was a mayor of your state, of your, not your state, but of your city, all right, that made that kind of remarks, ignoring him after senators said it's unconstitutional what you're doing. So you can see that there was definitely among this Negro no interest in the city, which is still not majority black. They are majority black, but they're not over 50% of the population as we were for many, many decades. So I just wanted to share that with you, brother, that we have some work to do in addition to the remarks we made and discussed earlier about how the children. Evidently, this woman here has no interest in black life because she has no interest in the sacredness of black youth.
Yes, brother, I get it. And that's issues we have to deal with, but we have the capability working as a collective and pooling resources is a part of it, because when we pool massive resources and withdraw all of these millions that we donate to others casually with trinkets of hair and whatever else that I talked about earlier, that is tattoos included, and foul mouth gangster killer music, we would then have those resources, economic resources, to build our own schools to make sure that the children are not misguided, and also would have their economic strength that we could influence a lot of things in more levels than we realize on political levels.
That's right.
And when we're not there and don't have the funds, the knowledge and the funds, then we're not influencing. And so there's other groups that are still anti-African groups, non-white but anti-African, that they don't make a whole bunch of noise, but they do quietly with money.
Right.
And
right.
We have the opportunity to pool our resources and take control of the economics of our community, because if we don't, then we will be forever at the mercy of others, and they'll do whatever they've been doing, continue to do, and they're advancing to do more if we don't take control and stop being at the mercy of others. And unity, the most powerful weapon we never use, and we got to make it a repetition thing. It's just like, and how are the children? We must do it every day, repetition. We must speak about being free every day. Most of us never talk about being free. We must talk about it every day. We must mention those words. And we must be the solution and not the pollution. Be the solution, not the pollution.
All right, let's be the, you heard the brother, be the solution and not the pollution. All right, and definitely not be Mayor Bauer. Family, really appreciate your attendance and at this session. Dare to Win will return next week, all right, with another topic. Please join us if you wish to listen to this, if you came in late. All right, a copy is made. You just go to the Dare to Win on our section of the website. Click on that, and you can see a recording of this session. Brother Thurman, I appreciate you coming on tonight and inspiring us to think seriously of our young people, all right, and how we need to look at them, all right, and encourage them and not discourage them, all right, and to make sure that what we're doing is for our survival, because our survival is through them. Brothers and sisters, take care. We'll meet you next week, and we look forward to another session of Dare to Win. Peace, and peace to you, Brother Thurman.
And peace to you, brother, and family.